Let's pray. Father, we again just come to you with gratitude in our hearts, knowing that none of what has taken place this morning would be possible without the sacrifice of your Son Jesus Christ and the death that he was willing to die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the promises of your word that we can come into your throne room with boldness. We can come and bring our requests before you and pray before you, that we can worship and be united with one heart, and that even now that we have the promise of your Son, Jesus Christ, interceding to you on our behalf. And we thank you for these truths. And Lord, we just pray now that as we turn to your word, our hearts and minds would be open to what you have for us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I have shared from the past with some of you that basically I have been in church about as long as I've been alive. My parents, I am blessed. I was brought up in a Christian home, and I'm sure within a few weeks after my birth, I was in church. And I've continued to be faithful in attendance. Even as a young adult, I went into church because as God would not really call me into the ministry until I was in my mid-30s. But you know, as growing up in the church and being saved at a young age, I've been able to make several observations when it comes to church and how we as Christians interact with each other. And one of the observations that I have made, and I continue to make even today, is an observation of what we normally ask others to pray for. And it happens, and we do it here before Sunday school, and on Wednesday evenings and Sunday evenings, we spend some time talking about how God has blessed us, sharing requests with one another, how we should pray. And 99.9% of the requests that are made are about what, church? Health. And I do want to be clear, this is not wrong. Right? Philippians 4:6 would say the following, or excuse me, if you want to turn in your Bibles to Rome, boy, I got that, seems in the wrong place. Let's see what we got here. Romans 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So when we have physical struggles, when we have pains and aches, when we have issues with our heart and with our lungs and cancer, it's okay to pray for those things. It really is. But the thing that I have observed is that's all we pray for. When it comes to prayer requests, you know, 99% of the prayer requests are about physical things or financial needs or things that are in the here and now. And I've been thinking through it, God has just laid on my heart to look at some of the prayers of Paul and try to help us have a more balanced prayer life. Where not only are we praying about the physical things, things that may cause anxiety in people's lives, but we learn to pray about spiritual matters. One of the things we're going to be doing over the next few weeks is we are going to be going through some of the prayers of Paul. As he writes his letters to the churches, often he includes a prayer for that church. And this morning we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. And it's interesting as we do this, was we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1, and I want us to think through this, because I believe we'll learn as we look into Paul's prayers some things that we can put into place that will give us that balance that I talked about. And as we do this, it's important to understand Paul's relationship with the church of Ephesus. On his third missionary journey, Paul would spend 3 years in Ephesus. Paul would play the key role in planting this church and developing this church and getting this church up and running. And it was a major part of his life. And even as Paul, towards the end of his missionary journey, would spend some time with the elders of the church of Ephesus. We read about this and studied this in Acts chapter 20. as we were doing that on Wednesday evening, and he would talk to them, and then he would make his place to Jerusalem. And now, several years later, he is in prison. He has a house arrest in the city of Rome, and he writes this letter to the church of Ephesus. So there's been some time going by, and I'm sure in Paul's mind, he is hopeful that they're still doing well, and we're going to see that he gets a report that they are still doing well, and I think it makes his heart glad to hear that. But as we dig into our passage this morning, we're going to view and learn a few things that will help us as we think about praying about spiritual matters in our lives and having that balanced prayer. And first of all, we start off, as we're going to look at verses 15 and 16, we're going to see that we need to thank God for His church. Now listen as I read verses 15 through 16. It says, "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Again, it appears Paul has received word about the church of Ephesus. He has received word that they are still firm in their faith in Christ. And not only that, they have a love for all the saints. And what's Paul do? He's quick to express his gratitude to who? The church? No, who does he thank for this? He expresses gratitude towards God because he recognizes for a church, anytime you have more than two or three people gathered together to maintain faith and love, it's a God thing. It's something God has accomplished through that body of believers. And for that reason, we read this and Paul responds to that news saying that he does not cease to give thanks. He is thankful to God for allowing this church to remain steadfast in the faith and to have a strong love for one another. And as I think about this, often I wonder how often we cease to give God thanks for what we have here at Coleridge Baptist Church. The fact that we are part of a church and where the members have faith in God, where they believe that salvation is through faith and faith alone. A group of people who love one another. You know, and even as I think through this and as I was writing a sermon, I thought, you know, I've probably failed in this area. I couldn't stand before you this morning and say that I do not cease to give thanks for this church. And I should be. I look back and it has been a blessing to be the pastor of Coleridge Baptist Church for the past 8 or 9 years. And I should be thanking God, not because of who you are, because of my ministry here, but because of what He's done in this church. And let me tell you, this idea of loving one another, that's not always common and that's not always in every church. And as we look at this and what Paul is thankful for, he's thankful for their faith, he's thankful for their love. As I was going through Bible college and seminary, often we were required to read books. A lot of books. But in certain classes, there would be books about reading about the church, and Tom Rainer is one. If you ever read any of his books, he does lots of research. He uses the Barna Group a lot, and he studies the statistics of things that happen in church. And he'll write. He wrote a book called Simple Church. He's written books like Comeback Church, and there's other churches like Natural Church Development. Tom didn't write that one, but all of them kind of have this thing in common of what does a healthy church look like? What does it look like? And honestly, I would say from Scripture, the signs of a healthy church are what Paul is thankful for right here in Ephesians chapter 1. A church that is strong in its faith and has love for one another. Signs of a healthy church. Not only signs of a healthy church, signs of a healthy Christian. You know, do you have a strong faith? Do you have love for others? Those are signs that you are where you need to be in your Christian walk. And it's an unending process. You know, this is not one of those things where you can say, I have faith, check, I love friends, check, I'm good to go, because something's going to happen. Something's going to come into your life that will cause you to doubt God and to question your faith. Something's going to come into your life where someone's going to say something, do something, and you're like, ugh. And it's going to be hard to express that love, and it's going to happen. And so it's important to notice that this is true, that we will have the faith in God and love for one another are signs of a healthy church, sign of a healthy Christian. And folks, I have to tell you, again, we need to be thankful for what we have. I have heard stories. I grew up in a church and I was too young to know what was going on, but I heard of stories of business meetings that would go on for hours. I don't think we've hit the hour mark yet since I've been here. Business meetings would go on for hours, and the tension would be so thick during that meeting that I learned this later that our pastor's wife actually left in tears as she drove herself home. You know, next week we're having a business meeting. I think I'm not going to lose any sleep over that. We need to be thankful that we can be part of a body that is that way. But we have to recognize that we are part of a church where we see people's faith, we see a love for one another. But we have to be thankful to God because He's the one that's given us that. And I think that's so important when we pray, that we praise Him for allowing us to be in a church where we can grow and where we can love on each other. And it's such an important thing to recognize that He is the one, He is the reason that we have what we have. But as we continue on to the next verse, I think we need to be careful that we don't get stuck going through the motions. And this needs to be one of our prayer requests. Last Saturday evening, my wife and I decide to spend a couple hours staring at a TV mindlessly. So we're looking for something to stream. Many of you remember last Sunday was February 2nd. We just happened to stumble across the movie Groundhog Day. And if you're familiar with the movie, there's a weatherman who gets stuck in the same day over and over and over and over and over, so much over and over that they make a 2-hour movie out of the same day. February 2nd, he wakes up, the same thing on the radio. He wakes up, the same people greet him at breakfast. He wakes up, the same people greet him on the street. The same winter storm comes in the afternoon, over and over and over. The same thing, repeated and repeated. And what's my point here? I think as Christians, if we're not careful, we get stuck going through the motions. We can get up in the morning. We can spend some time reading the Bible. We can pray before our meals. We can come to Coral Ridge Baptist Church on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock where some guy gets up, makes a few announcements, reads the scripture. We sing three songs. We take an offering. He talks for a while. We sing another song. We pray and we go home. And then we come back the next Sunday and do it all over again. And for some of you, you know, and unless you're sick or on vacation, you may do it all over every week for 50 weeks out of the year. I'll give you a couple weeks off. But if we're not careful, we lose sight of why we do it. We just can be stuck going through the motions. And listen to what Paul says in verse 17 as we continue on. As he continues on and he says, making mention in you, in my prayers, at the end of verse 16, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. What is Paul saying here? May God give you a spirit. Now this is not may God give you His Holy Spirit. If you back up and study out verses 3 through 14 in Ephesians 1, which, by the way, I'd encourage you to do, and I'd like to have spent some time there, but that's a whole sermon in itself. You know, part of what we read in the first part of this chapter, this book, is that we have all received the Holy Spirit as a seal of our righteousness and of our salvation. We've received the Holy Spirit as a down payment or a guarantee of in the inheritance that is to come, as we will be in heaven someday. And so we have the Holy Spirit in it. But what he's saying is, may you have a spirit within you that allows you to see the revelation of God's Word in your life. And what's the purpose of this? So that you may gain the knowledge of God. I think there's something here that's important. Knowledge that is described here, Paul is using in the context of the Hebrew, in the Hebrew way of thinking. Because what do we think of when we think of knowledge? May we have the revelation of knowledge. May we add more facts in our head about God. That's not what Paul's talking about. Because, right, we all have useless information floating around in our heads. Right? Somebody texted me a dad joke lately and it's still stuck. Useless information. In fact, I thought about telling a dad joke this morning, but you don't need that useless information floating around in your head, because for some reason you don't forget that stuff. And it's not that Paul wants his readers, the church at Ephesus, it's not that God wants for us that we study his word so that we can just repeat what we've read. That's not the knowledge he's talking about. The knowledge he's talking about here, the Hebrew mindset of knowledge, is intimacy with God. And what he's saying is, may God reveal more of himself to you so that you may grow and love him more and more. And that's part of Paul's prayer request here. And folks, we need to be thinking about that as we pray. That when we sit down and read God's word, and we pray before we read it, that God would show us something that would help us live in a way that would glorify him. Not only would he show us that, but we would learn more about him in a way that would cause us to grow more and more in love with God. You know, and I tell you, as you study out Scripture and as you look at how our sins are offensive to God, and every sin is offensive to God, and recognize his grace and his mercy and all that he's done for us, he is a God that deserves our love back, right? I mean, a God who has loved us beyond what we can comprehend. A God who loved us that when we were his enemies, he would send his only son to die on the cross for our sins. And Paul's prayer for the church of Ephesus, now, they're already doing well, right? They have faith in Christ. They have love for one another, so we have signs of a healthy church, but he prays, but you're not there yet. You know, I'm praying that God will just reveal to you through his word attributes about himself, knowledge about himself, so that you will just continue to grow in your love for him. You know, a love for God will be seen by others. A love for God will help us be transformed from the inside out. And it's a love for God that will create in us a desire to be obedient to his word. It's a love for God that will give us a hatred for the sin that we have in our lives and a desire to get rid of it. And I believe that that's so crucial to this prayer. And folks, we need to be praying for this for one another. That God would give us a spirit, an understanding, a revelation of his word that would just create a desire to love God more. So we need to be grateful for the church and be thankful for what we have there, that we are involved in a church that has faith and a love for one another. We need to be praying that we would have, through God's word, it would be revealed to us the attributes of God and the things of God that would cause him to love him more. But we also need to be praying for the ability to live in light of eternity. It's pretty easy to get caught up in the here and now, isn't it? The things that are taking place today, the things that have taken place in the past week. I mean, we're living in some interesting times. Times when fewer and fewer churches are adhering to the Word of God. Times where we have preachers who refuse to preach about sin. And the list can go on and on. And I haven't even talked about some of the personal difficulties that take place in our lives. You know, I've been here long enough as the pastor of Coleridge Baptist Church. I have been here and heard of some of you as you had gone to the doctor's office and heard those words, "You have cancer." I know others who have grieved the loss of a loved one. I know others who have dealt with a lot of difficult circumstances in their life, whether it be chronic pain or whatever it would be. And sometimes these circumstances are hard to look beyond. But listen to what we read in verse 18 and how, when you think about the difficult circumstances we often face, the importance of what we read here as Paul continues on in this prayer. So the knowledge of Him is where we end in verse 17. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Right? Paul's open praying what? Praying, God, open their eyes. God, allow them to look past the pain and the suffering in their experience. Allow them to look past the messed up government in the country in which they live. Allow them to look past what CNN is reporting. Allow them to look past what Fox News is reporting. But allow them to see the hope that they have in Christ Jesus. Something that is beyond our current situation, our current circumstances. Help them see beyond. To look past the pain, to look past the grief. You know, there's some other scriptures that really where Paul will say, write about the hope that is we have in Christ Jesus and how it can help us look past our current circumstances. 2 Corinthians verse chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, we read, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Again, Paul is writing to those people who are focused on everything that's going on in their world. And what's he say? Stop focusing on what can be seen. But focus on the unseen things, because the unseen things are eternal. And he would say something similar in Romans chapter 8, as he would say, "For I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And once again, Paul, this is a prayer, and we have to understand everything that we're talking about this morning, our prayer request. What does that mean? That means left in our own power, left in our own strength, we're going to struggle to look beyond our current circumstances. We're going to struggle to look beyond our grief. We're going to struggle to look beyond the pain. We're going to struggle to look beyond the doctor's diagnosis. But it's as we pray and as God works in our lives, we can look beyond that to the hope. And what is that hope, church? Someday, we will be absent from this body and we will be present with the Lord. Someday, we're going to see our Lord and Savior face to face. Someday, we will experience a glorified body that is no longer tempted by sin, a glorified body that is as the body of Christ. We're told about that in Philippians chapter 3. Someday we will experience a time when there is no more pain. There is no more crying. And we will be in the presence of God forever. And it's always good to have a good illustration. I don't know, got nothing. Because I was thinking about it this morning, this past week, there was somebody who used to live in town and he moved to Buffalo and he's kind of licking his wounds because of football, something happened there. Anyhow, he rides bicycle a lot. He's one that's ridden across east to west, once in the southern route, once in the north route, so he's done all kinds of bike riding. And he made this comment, a bad day on a bicycle is better than a good day at work. And I've heard that, a bad day fishing is better than a good day at work. A bad day of golf is better than a good day at work. Some of you may say a bad day of crocheting is better than a good day at work. The list can go on and on. But the problem with this illustration is there's no such thing as a bad day in heaven. But I can tell you that. So with that in mind, I want you to think. Take for a moment and think of what one of the days or the day that you would say is the best day of your life. Maybe it was the birth of a child. Maybe it was the day as you stood in front of an auditorium somewhere like this and you had sweaty palms and you looked at that time your fiance in the eyes as she was becoming your wife and you said, I do. Maybe it was the first time you held a grandchild. Think about that day. You should all be smiling right now. It does not compare to what God has in store for us. And the prayer that we need to be praying for one another is that we can grasp the significance of the hope that we have in Christ. We can grasp the significance that He has something so much greater for us than anything we've experienced here on this earth. And we need to pray, especially, and I'll tell you, this is one of my prayers, as people will pray and talk about things that they have going on in their life, as they'll pray and talk about surgeries that have failed, when they ask for prayer requests about certain things, one of the things I pray is this very prayer: God, help them look past the circumstances to the hope that they have. Because the reality is, when we have physical difficulties, it can affect our spiritual well-being. It can create doubts in our minds. It can create all kinds of things. And so we need to be praying for one another, not just that they get better, because I got some bad news. Unless the Lord returns, all our bodies are going to fail someday. And in fact, I often say this, because many of you are familiar with the story of Lazarus and Jesus, how He brought him back to life. Had to be a very cool thing for him to stand at the grave and say, Lazarus, come forth. And here he comes walking out with his, some grave clothes hanging off of him. But I thought, poor Lazarus, he had to die twice. I don't want to make light of what Jesus did there, because that was an awesome miracle. But folks, we have to understand, it's coming, and that's why it's so important that we keep our eyes focused on the hope that we have. Our bodies will fail. And everything here on earth will disappear, but one thing we can rest assured on is our hope does not change, because our hope is in a living Savior, Jesus Christ. And even here, Paul would mention an inheritance. Not only do we have the hope and the certainty of seeing Jesus face to face, we're told we have an inheritance waiting for us. One that Peter would say in 1 Peter 1:4 that is incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away. Again, something we can't comprehend, because everything here on earth eventually fades away. And again, prayer request. We're not capable of looking past our current situations all the time, every time, in our own strength. We need God's help in doing so, which brings us to our last point this morning. We need to pray for the ability to trust in God's power. You know, as I stand before you this morning, I'm kind of a big guy. And I've always been that way all my life and been fairly strong, grew up on a farm. But I have to tell you, I have encountered a few men that I revered greatly. Down here, I've had the privilege of meeting a guy that used to play for the Minnesota Vikings. Another sad story this year, but used to play for the Minnesota Vikings. And he, although he's 60 years old, I don't really feel like I'd want to lip off to the guy. He's still in shape, still works out. It's like, nope, not messing with him. I've worked with some other guys that were extremely huge, and I have a respect for that. And actually, some people, they just actually made me feel weak. And even today, there's going to be some event taking place around 6:30. Some of those linemen are huge, right? Not someone you're going to go up and make fun of their mama. Because you might wake up next week. Although I'm making light of it, I mean, we've seen and know the power of some of the athletes of the world and some of those things, but have we ever considered the power of God that is for us? Listen as we read along in verses 19 through 23. We continue on, he says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." Well, that's a pretty cool description of our God, isn't it? Exceeding greatness. Above all powers, not only the powers that exist today, but are to come. Over all spiritual forces, over Satan and all the demons and all the spiritual forces that are in this world, God has placed Jesus Christ over them all. The power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. The power of God that through that resurrection defeated Satan once and for all. Folks, we cannot underestimate the power of God, and we're told here that power is for us, His church. I mean, we're talking about God who can speak and things appear out of nothing. The God who I believe created all of creation in six literal days by simply speaking. I often kind of make light of this because I've had a few dogs in my life and I can't even successfully get them trained, let alone speak and create. God who is over all principality. A God who can work through His Spirit in our lives so that we can have faith in Jesus Christ without doubts. A God through His Spirit that lives in our lives that can give us the ability to love one another. A God who can reveal to us through His written Word information that can help us grow and love Him more and more. A God who has the strength to help us look past our current circumstances to the hope that we have in the future. Do you believe our God has that ability? Now, I think about Romans 4 and it's talking about Abraham and his faith. And his faith was in the power of God as we read the following verse. And I'm reading from the NIV in this particular case. But listen as I read. "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had what? Power to do what he had promised. Boy, we need to look into the promises of the New Testament, don't we? Because when doubts come into our heads and Satan wants us to question whether God can do something, we need to look at those promises and have the same faith that Abraham had that said God has the power to fulfill these promises. God has the power to give us the assurance that Christ will never leave us or forsake us. God has the power to help us keep a doubt-free mind and focus on the hope that we have. God has the power, again, to keep us from looking at our current circumstances and being overwhelmed. And I think about this. I think about Paul's prayer here. He's heard about the church's Ephesus. He's thanking God for their faith and love. And yet he still prays this prayer. Folks, I don't care where you are in your faith. You may have come in walking in this door and you may say, man, my God is the most awesome God. I love him with all my heart. I am so excited to worship today. Or you may have come through that door thinking, I should have just stayed home. I don't care what end of the spectrum you are. You need this kind of prayer being offered up to God for you. Because he can lift you up from I don't want to be here. And he can sustain you when you're thrilled to be here. And he can help you continue to grow and be more and more like Christ each and every day of your life. Church, I pray and my hope is that this passage will help change the way that you think about prayer. Change the way that you pray. Change the way that we pray. I need to include myself here. You know, we need to find balance. It is true, we're to make all our requests known unto God. That includes anything that might cause anxiety in your life, from a stubbed toe to a misplaced hair. But we also need to make sure that we're praying for one another and our one another's spiritual health. Pray that we may grow in our faith. Pray that we may, that the love we have for one another would grow. Pray that we may grasp the hope that we have. Pray that we'd understand God's power, the ultimate power, no greater power is for us and working through us. A strength working through us that can help us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. A strength and power working through us that can help us be bold in our faith and have a willingness to share the gospel with other people. A strength that will allow God to work up for us, through us in a way that brings honor and glory and praise back to Himself. You see, I believe it is when we start including these kinds of prayers into our lives that we're going to see God do some amazing things. You know, I fear way too often we are so short-sighted. We are so unable to look past our circumstances that we think, well, this is as good as it gets. We should be happy with who's here and that they come every week. But I can tell you what, God is still in the business of saving souls, and He wants to use each one of you in the process of doing it. And I don't know about you, but with what I read here, I believe our God is powerful enough that we can have a revival in Cape Coral. I believe our God is powerful enough that it's His will and He doesn't return. We can have a revival in the United States of America. But do we believe that? And it starts with making sure that we are where we need to be spiritually and praying for spiritual matters, praying for the salvation of lost souls, praying for spiritual matters, finding that balance between the physical and the spiritual. We're going to continue to look at some of Paul's prayers. To be honest with you, I don't know how long we'll be doing this because I'm working my way through it myself. But I pray that it will just change the way that we think in a way that God will use our prayers, right, in a mighty way. And we'll see Him work through us and see those prayers answered as we see people grow in their faith and their love for God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the opportunity that we've had to look into Your Word this morning. And Lord, I pray that our hearts have been receptive to it. I pray that Your Spirit even now is working in our hearts, revealing to us the areas that we need to change, the areas in our lives that we need to work on. And God, again, I just thank You for this day. I thank You for each person present this morning and just the opportunity that we've had to worship You. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning as we close, I often offer just a time where you can come and respond to the message. If God's working on your heart, I'd encourage you to do that as we sing. Also, if you have a prayer request or something that's heavy in your heart, I'd be glad to pray with you this morning.